Jared Ethan Black. The Art of Thanksgiving, the Will of God for Your Life.
I'm going to pray for us. Father, I pray that you would continue to make your presence known and near to us. As John declared and then Jesus echoed, may we recognize in every moment of our lives your kingdom at hand, right here, near, in our midst. I pray that your name becomes known to us, Emmanuel, that we recognize that God is in fact with us. And may we be a people that learn, practice, mature to be in you in all settings of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. This is likely short and sweet. because from my standpoint, this is the final chapel of the semester that I'll be conducting with you. And the fact that in several weeks, we go off to celebrate a fairly American meal known as Thanksgiving, which I think, just personally, is a wonderful, it quite possibly has eclipsed to become my favorite holiday of the year. Not just because I like sweet potato casserole, but also because of the notion that we can take time carved out in practical space and reality to give thanks. Now, I'm going to make a bold claim. I'm going to make it because I think it comes directly from Scripture. And you're going to learn three Scriptures today. You're going to memorize them. In fact, I even was able to not bring my Bible because I have memorized these three Scriptures. And these three Scriptures will, in fact, isolate, target, bullseye for you God's intention for your life. It's that clear. With all of your unique talents and gifts, with your unique family heritage and history, with all the things that you might want to endeavor to be a part of in this thing called life, with every desire you have or with every fear you might also contain, this today is God's will for you. Not overstated. And it really goes quite well in line with what we've been discussing the last several chapels, which deal with, you know, what comes out of you, your mouth, or your thinking, your thoughts, how you treat those around you in your word, which is that rudder of good or evil. Life and death tend to come out of the tongue, and that tongue kind of shows what's actually going on inside of you. Well, this today, these three little scriptures will show you a practice, a practical reality that you'll never outgrow. With every season of life, you'll have another opportunity to reinvigorate this practice. And if only this, if this was the only thing in your life that you were able to grab hold of, put into practical reality, the orthodoxy of it and the orthopraxis of it meeting together in your beautiful life, if but this, it is enough. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. You're going to memorize Scripture. It rivals the shortest Scripture in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice always. There it is. Say it back to me.
Rejoice always.
Yeah, see, you just memorized Scripture. Say it one more time to make sure it's in there.
Rejoice.
Yeah, yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah, so let's put them together. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, very good. See, two Scriptures. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, give thanks. Yeah, let's put it all together. So, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now, the verse 18 is a little longer, but this is also the answer to life's greatest mystery. Those three little phrases you've just repeated back to me. Rejoice always, Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Period. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, here you are, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, staring at a future in front of you that may hold massive changes and translations of your reality into new iterations. You may, in fact, go off to college. You may go get an advanced degree. You may grab hold of a career that demands so much of your energies, time, focus. You may have a family one day, and then all the things that tend to saddle up alongside family with provisions, and maybe it's a house and cars, and if you're so inclined, a ski boat to take everyone out in. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Vacations, and then one day grandchildren and grandchildren's children, and life just bustles and grows just right from you, this seed here planted on planet Earth. There's going to be so much life that comes out of your life that would not be here if you weren't here. Like, you have a huge, tremendous impact around you, just you, me, our little lives sitting here. And the secret, the key to all of it, which then harmonizes with the rest of everything you're going to learn, is, are you going to be one that masters in your practice the very will of God for your existence? It is not for you to be the greatest politician ever. It is not for you to be the greatest physician ever. It's not for you to impact the world with your spiritual insights and write books upon books and sermons upon sermons. That's not the will of God for you. The will of God for you and me is to be a person, to be a people that understand the orientation of how life flows, and to simply and profoundly be thankful for it. Thankful. Full of thanks. It's pretty simple. Now, it feels a little complex in our reality because it does say, in everything, give thanks. This can be hard. It is often easy to be thankful for something that is pretty obviously good. You received the promotion, or you got into the college of your choice, or, I don't know, insert anything else that you desire. I mean, yeah, right? Thank you. Well, and that's actually a practice, too. You have to know from where it comes. Yes, your effort. Yes, the culture in which you live in. And yes, opportunities and everything afforded to you. But the Hebraic version, the faith of Jesus, not just faith in Jesus, understands that all good things come from God. Are you going to be a person that chooses to orient your life on that truth? It is a choice. One way you can answer that at this present moment is, are you already prone to lean into thanksgiving? Are you already prone to go that way? Are you a thankful person? If not, don't be alarmed. You're simply human. And probably the nature of who you are and the nurture of that around you has kind of produced you in this path and your choices. The good news is you can choose your way out of this. If you're not naturally a thankful person, fantastic. Start practicing being thankful, which means utter it out of your mouth, whether you feel it or not. Thankfulness has very little to do with how you feel. When you practice thankfulness, your entire vision of life reorients. It just does. You will see things different. You yourself will enter into relationships and situations far different if you're a thankful person. Have you ever been around someone that is a bit of a downer? Their whole personality, their whole demeanor sort of oozes with, just doing another day. Got up late again. Don't feel so good. It just kind of oozes with kind of the darker side of life. that also can be a choice, and it can also be someone, the way they view life. If that's you, you can do something about that. It's very practical, meaning you can practice it. That's what practical means. You simply begin a new direction, and in doing so, even if it violates what you feel is how I'm actually wired, it will start the process of rewiring you right into the very will of God for your life. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing means stay in constant contact with the author of all life. That's pray without ceasing. Is you're never disconnected from the God of the universe. That is a practice, by the way. It doesn't always feel like that's the case. Like, oftentimes you'll be in seasons where it feels quite the opposite, that you have zero connection with the God of the universe. In fact, if you'll even doubt, is there even one? Relax. All is okay. Rejoice always, even in that. Even in that moment of, I rejoice that I feel disconnected from the very source of life of the universe. I will rejoice in that reality. And in that, I will stay actively participating, connecting with this God whom I feel quite distant from. And in that place, even that place, I will practice practical giving thanks. Thank you, God of all, that I am here. Thank you for, my kids and I, we would talk about when they were little, if you must, if you've gotten yourself into such a headspace that you can't even fathom being thankful for anything around you, start with the smallest thing you can think of. And for whatever reason, we landed on the big toe. You can be thankful at the very least for your big toe. If you're missing a big toe, fine. Go to the next finger or appendage and figure out what you want to call that and be thankful for that. Why? Well, when you start thinking about it, there's actually quite a lot to be thankful for about the big toe. It is the center of balance for you. It is, it keeps you upright. It actually allows you to ambulate. You can walk because of the big toe. I mean, wow, just being thankful for the big toe, you can sort of get lost in a little stream of thought. Chances are you'll move on from the big toe. That's a good thing. You'll start to see life from a different perspective. You'll see relationships differently, even the ones that are strained or hard. There are things to be thankful for even in that. And thankful to who? The God of the universe, the author of all life, the one who is with you. That's the whole point. Your life, yeah, is meant to be full. And in that fullness, successful, but not successful to make it full. Okay? Your success doesn't make you have a full life. Your full life will bring about your success. You can ponder on that. If you can figure that out, that will change everything for the way you move forward. But for today, and as you look forward to a meal, most likely for most of us, with family or friends, and it's supposed to be an opportunity to look around and to breathe in deep thankfulness for all that has been given. And then you return the giving favor with giving your thanks. It will be amazing how much that little turn of phrase, that little dial adjustment, can and will propel you forward in your life. If but that, you will have found a key that surprisingly few find. It is that simple, to acknowledge God with thankfulness. I mean, there's other scriptures that start to ring true with that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. That falls right in line with, well, what's the best way to acknowledge God? Thank you. Express thanks. Rejoice in the reality of the life you find yourself in. Why? Because the author of life has produced this for you, even if you're in dark places for the time being. The best way to find your way out of a dark place is to rejoice, pray, and thank your way out of it. And that is when you will have recognized, ah, I have discovered right here in plain sight the will of God for me in Jesus. There's no more specific needed. It doesn't also be, oh yeah, and I'm an astronaut. That's the will of God for me. No. If you're an astronaut, fantastic. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. and in everything give thanks. And if you're not, it doesn't violate the will of God for you. It's very simple, but it's so simple it's profound. And if but that, if you'll just apprehend that, if you're looking for one thing to practice, even if you're in that stage of life where you're sort of challenging all of the things you've been told are true, oh, this is a great place to start. I mean, it's almost a dare. I dare you to practice thankfulness. Prove it wrong. Become so thankful so that you could maybe prove wrong the mystery of the universe that there's no reason to be thankful for anything. I dare you to do it. And the reason I can say that with quite a bit of confidence is if you orient that way, it sets the rest of the table for you. It just does. It is a principle that is locked already deep in the foundational wall of how God orients our lives. So, quite simply, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice always, yeah. And you don't have to be a Greek scholar to know this. You know what that word always literally translates to be? Yeah, it's always. Yeah, rejoice always. I mean, is there ever a circumstance in which you should not rejoice? No, that would violate the always, wouldn't it? All right, so rejoice how often? Yeah, so even when you have an awful, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, even then, is that contained in the always? Yes, it is. Pray unceasingly. I mean, is there a moment in your life where prayer will be inappropriate or unwelcomed or unavailable? Pray without ceasing. Well, you know, I mean, to not cease means what? Yeah, never stopping. Well, that seems unrealistic, right? Because you also have to do math homework, and you also have to do language prep, and you also have to take the SAT. Certainly you can't be and shouldn't be praying during those endeavors. I think you're missing the point. The connection is where it is, that you can be continually focused on a very specific human task and never lose connection with the prayerfulness, that connectability with the God of the universe. That's how it is. Just because you're focused on something else doesn't mean you're not equally connected, unceasingly connected with God through prayer. And when you take a breath and focus relents, sometimes you can go, wow, thank you, God, for this opportunity. You are sitting in the midst of so many opportunities, worthy of thanks. And then lastly, verse 18, in everything, give thanks, and not to beat a dead horse, but in everything. Everything. I mean, just take a stab at it. What's the firmest Greek rendering of everything? Everything. And everything? I mean, there are some things that you shouldn't think that you should give thanks for, right? That would seem to be. Well, if you recall our times together, there is something about this God whom emanates life that even that which was intended for evil, God makes for what? All right, so if you're in the experience of something that really does feel dark and evil, what happens if you have the audacity to give thanks for even that? And this is hard to do, by the way. This violates the mind. When you give thanks for that which has all the appearance of not being good or from God, when you have the boldness in belief, faith, and calling on the name of God to have thankfulness even in that, what do you think that helps assure? What does that do? It rolls that which was intended to destroy you into the category of this is now supporting you. It's why you'll see that sometimes someone's biggest failure is their largest springboard into the next phase of their life. Never fear it. Simply be thankful in it and watch what happens. So, what is the will of God for you? Like the massive overarching will of God for you, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, we shall rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Yay. So with that, with that. Practice, practice, practice. A couple of you become gurus, master it. Become senseis in the art of thankfulness. All right, well, have not only a great day, but in the season ahead, it rolls out from here. Do well with practicing your thankfulness.
So many questions in my head, it's like a carousel spinning. Just when I think I'm at the end, I find I'm at the beginning. Well, if I had the chance to ask him, would I even know where to start? Yeah. Would I ask them chronologically right from the creation? Or would I start with the finale, the book of Revelation? Maybe I should stop my thinking, let the questions flow.